May we also sing number 20. Behold the Savior at the door. He gently knocks, has knocked before, has waited long, is waiting still. You use no other friend so ill. He'll enter in and sup with you, and you with him. Number 20. Behold the with the Lord's help, tonight we want to read two portions of the Word of God, one that has to do with the past, and one that has to do with the future. Very solemn portions of God's Word that have spoken to multitudes, and we trust that the Holy Spirit of God will see fit to use these portions tonight to exercise your heart regarding the briefness, the brevity of time. Time is fast passing away. And, oh, your precious soul, still lost, still outside the door of safety. The first portion in Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. Genesis 6, 5. Concerning the flood. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the sides thereof with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And a few verses in chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Verse 16. And they went in, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Chapter 8 and verse 6, please. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the ground, from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came in to him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Luke chapter 1. Luke Luke chapter 1 and verse 76. Luke 1, 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is that which is yet to come to pass. And this speaks of fire. Destruction once by the flood, and the next time by fire. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and by the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. May we turn back then to Genesis chapter 6, please. In this account, we have here a wonderful object lesson, a wonderful illustration, we might call it, and it is something that man could see. And tonight we have that lovely verse in John 1 and 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." God's Lamb, God's remedy for man's ruin, God's ark of safety for all who will enter therein. The ark was an illustration in that day. It was a place of safety. It was that which man could behold and which man had observed for the duration of the building of it, which was approximately 120 years. And they had God's warning so plain, so very plainly, and they had God's love manifested so definitely. And so in this scene tonight, we have the Lord of glory held up before us in God's precious word, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." Well, here we have in this sixth chapter the awful description of wickedness and violence which is rampant in the earth. As it was in Noah's day, so is it today, at least in part. And the cup of iniquity is fast filling up. We have here in verse 5, "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." Ah, yes. Man's state is put here very plainly. Wickedness. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And tonight, dear soul outside of Christ, you come under that category. You are classified tonight as one of the wicked that God beholds still in your sins. God loves you, and He would embrace you tonight if you would have His Son as your Savior. But God hates your sin. You are spoken of in Romans 6 and Romans 3 and 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, because God's word says so. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you will enter that open door, the Lord Jesus tells us in John 10 and 9, behold, He tells us, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door," your heart's door, "I will come in and sup with him, and he with me." Man is a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. God's word tells it so plainly in both Old and New Testaments. All have sinned. And He tells us there in Isaiah 53 and 6, very plainly, that precious word that we had before us in part this morning, that is so plain that you need not mistake it. And it brings before us again that all we like sheep have gone astray. All, and that includes you. All we like sheep have gone astray. All have turned to His own way. But the Lord, Jehovah, hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Go in at the first all and come out at the last all, and all will be well with your needy soul. Ah, yes, a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. So plain. And we have a word in Ecclesiastes that is so positive along this same line. There in the seventh chapter, And verse 20 tells us this solemn word, Ecclesiastes 7 and 20, "For there is not a just man upon the earth." Not one. Not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Well, God has searched, and we have in His Word, in Psalm 14, this that bears testimony against every creature under the sun. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." God's word is so specific and plain that poor man is a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. So there isn't a soul that could stand up and boast that he doesn't need God's saving. He doesn't need God's remedy for sin, because all have sinned, and that includes you all under sin, that God might have mercy upon all. Well, those are just a few of the many, many indictments we might read that God has against this sinful creation. And since Calvary, God's indictment has been suspended over the scene, just as it were by a thread, awaiting the execution of it, the clipping of the thread, so to speak, and God's judgment will fall. Dear sinner friend, unsaved sinner friend, would you like to be in that position, under God's wrath, and that wrath suspended over your guilty head, your head that deserves judgment, that deserves God's wrath? It will come down, and you'll be the victim of it, unless you seek refuge in Christ, the ark of safety. God has provided him for you, individual, that you might have a safe place to flee, that you might have a clear title to glory by the precious blood of Christ, which was shed on Calvary. Ah, yes, this word that we read here in the 14th verse, "shall pitch it within and without with pitch," that I understand in the original speaks of the atonement. The atonement, pitch it within and without, a place of safety, at one moment, a place of God's remedy and safety from the oncoming flood of God's wrath. Not of water, again, but of fire, as we read in 2 Peter 3. Well, this was a very long account, a very long warning of about 120 years. And God tonight is pleading in mercy to you, and I would like to call your attention to those 7 days. God waited yet 7 more days. God is still waiting for you tonight, and we can't say that you will see 10 o'clock. We can't guarantee that. But we know that God is still waiting for you, sinner friend, and you might be the last one that will receive the Lord Jesus Christ to complete the body of Christ. And the trumpet blast will sound, and we'll be caught away to glory. You might be the last one in this room tonight. Oh, realize how very, very near you are to a place of safety, and yet in a place of danger and despair. So close, and yet so far. because you haven't yet entered in. Ah, it tells us here, they went in with him. And it has the same precious word in Matthew 25. They went in with him, which speaks of safety, which speaks of refuge, and which speaks of fellowship with him. And God shut the door. Ah, tonight, as was sung this morning in the children's meeting, one door and only one, and yet the sides are two. I am on the inside. On which side are you? Do you want to be on the wrong side of a closed door for all eternity? Oh, what a very solemn thought to be on the wrong side of a closed door for all eternity. Satan would have you forget all about that solemnity. He would have you to think that everything's going to go on just like they said in the second epistle of Peter. They said, things will continue as they have since the time of our fathers. There were scoffers in those days. Tonight, would you consider that God's word is untrue and that God is a liar and that you are going to go on and on and on at your own, in your own pleasure and according to your own desires without any termination of such? Don't be so unfair to your soul. Don't be so stupid as to think that God's word isn't true. Oh, God's word is true. God's word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. He says, there shall be a fire. There shall be judgment. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. For our God is a consuming fire. Speaking of his righteousness, his holiness, and of his justice, and of his love, and of his wrath and power. Oh, tonight, that you might come to Christ while yet you may, and that you might find a place of shelter and refuge and safety in him, ere it be too late and forever too late. Yes. And this, we might take a look at 2 Peter 2 and 5. It was a righteous warning. We have it mentioned there in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. God's word is full of this wonderful subject. Second Peter 2 and 5. Well, read verse 4 to get the connection. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. we could go on and on, think of it. A righteous warning. A warning given by one whom we have in verse 8, which speaks, but God found grace, a man in whom God found grace, but Noah found grace rather in the eyes of the Lord, because why? He was a righteous man. Oh, tonight, you can't claim any place of safety outside of the Savior. Oh, that you might realize the necessity of having him as your own precious Redeemer. Tonight, don't wait. Don't delay. Because it's so dangerous to delay. Procrastination is a thief of time. Rejection is simply that which we find in the Word of God as a result of neglect. Neglect, oh neglect, how neglect not the day of salvation. This is God's time for you. And when you continue to neglect, it adds up to rejection. And if you reject, you have God's word that's going to stand before you, as it were. In that day, you'll be judged by His precious word. And the Lord Jesus Christ on His own throne, there, the great white throne, a place where there's no blood, a place where there's no love, no mercy, just God's righteousness and God's holiness. And you'll hear those words, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I know you not." That's the substance of this precious portion of God's word here. And in verse 6 of this 6th chapter, "And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." God is a God of love. Indeed He is. He's a God of light. But when man won't have God and turn God out, they have turned out the light. They have turned out love. The first death separates man from man. And the second death separates man from God. And where God is not, there'll be no light and there'll be no love. It'll be darkness and hatred for all eternity. Do you want to be in such a place as that? Sinner friend tonight, beware. Because there's wrath, beware, lest He take thee away with His stroke, and then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Beware. God's word has red lights all through it. And we praise God for His faithfulness to us. And so, the first invitation is given here in the first verse of chapter 7. The first invitation of the Word of God. It's given, and the same invitation is given to you tonight, time and time again, in the New Testament as well as in the Old. "And Noah said, and the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Come thou." And He's given an invitation tonight about 1900 times in His word, I've been told, or have read it somewhere. And it is constantly, "Come, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, come now and let us reason together." Think of it. A God of glory, a God of love, and a God of grace, and a God of power should look down and see poor, wretched worms of the dust just as specks going about. And yet, He should say, "Come now and let us reason together." God would deign to reason with poor, sinful man. "Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Come now and let us reason together. And don't delay. God's time is now. And how are you going to escape if you neglect so great a salvation? Think of these poor souls. Put yourself as well as you can in their position. And there they were, beholding Noah and his carpenters with him, preparing and constructing and finishing the ark. For it says there that Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. And then just think of the way that they ridiculed Noah and the way that they ridiculed his warning. And then when the door was shut, all those thoughts came back to them. And there they were, pounding on that closed door. "Oh, Noah, we didn't realize that it was going to be so terrible as this. And here we are. Please let us in." "Oh, Noah," said, "I can't help you. I can't do a thing about it. God closed the door. I didn't close it. And I can't open it." A gulf was fixed. Indeed it was. And tonight for you, the gulf hasn't yet been fixed. But if you reject Christ and go out of time into eternity without Him, without your heart cleansed by His precious blood, that gulf will forever be fixed for you. And there'll be no way of getting across to help you, and no way of escape for you to receive help, not so much as a drop of water, according to Luke 16. Tonight, realize the awfulness of your situation. and realize that the Lord Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And he's the one tonight we would seek again to hold up before you as the only remedy for ruined man. The only remedy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved your soul that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that takes you in, believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, that you might know a place of safety. Take a look at Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Just to bear out some of these precious thoughts. And this is one that I hope you will remember. Proverbs 22 and 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Oh, tonight that you might be prudent, that you might be wise, that you might hide yourself, that you might receive Christ as your Savior and be hidden in him. Don't be among those that are simple, the simple pass on and are punished. You say, "I don't believe that word. I don't want it." Just a week ago, this afternoon, we handed some gospel tracts to a lady in a Jeep, and I never had a lady say what she said to me. She handed them back. She said, "I can't take these because I'm not a Christian." And I said, "But these are gospel tracts. Read them and take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he'll save you from hell." She said, "I want to go to hell. All my relatives and friends are there. I want to go to hell." I said, "My lady, you know what you said? That's a terrible place." And then she said some other things that I won't even repeat. And she just smiled a cynical smile. And I gave her John 3:16, and she just smiled again, just like it wasn't having any effect. I never had a woman tell me that before. Never. Sometimes a man, very seldom even so. But think of it. Do you want to be among that number that will be lost forever in a place of eternal torment and torture? And that's where you're headed. That's exactly the direction you're going. If you receive Christ, if you don't receive Christ as your Savior, if you go on believing Satan's lie, the Lord Jesus said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Just come to him. Believe on him. Trust in him. Have him as your Savior before you go out that door tonight. And you can rejoice in sins forgiven. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And rejoice that you have a clear title to a home in the glory with and like the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. This precious, precious ark of God's providing was a voice to the people. And we have in Hebrews 1 and 2 that God has spoken unto us in his Son. He spoke then in the ark. He's speaking tonight in his Son. And he wants you to hearken and heed before it's forever too late for your needy soul. Because God is not willing that any should perish. But that you might repent. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe and receive him. For as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, these are some of the precious things that we read about here in God's wonderful word. And there's something else here for us tonight, and that is, this ark endured the storm. It endured the storm. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Savior, who endured the storm, the wrath of man from below, and the wrath of God from above. And he said, "My God, my God, Why hast thou forsaken me? His face marked, and not even having the appearance of man, because of the buffetings and brutality of wicked man, and God's judgment upon him, the righteous and holy judgment of God against sin upon him. And he bore my penalty, my guilt. And I go free. Tonight, you want to go free? He wants to be your substitute. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your refuge, your place of eternal safety. Yes, it tells us that we've been blessed with all blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you're out. You see? You're out. Those of us who are His tonight are in Christ, and we have these multiple blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ. Where are you? Are you in Christ? Or are you out? Oh, it's so sad to hear some young people say, well, I think I'm saved, you know. I think so. So the Father said I was saved, but I'm just not sure. Just this summer I had a young lady say, and I've taken her for a Christian for many years, but she said, sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I doubt. Sometimes I wonder. And I tried to comfort her, tried to bring her the Word, not to console her that if she was going on in the wrong way, but I believe she's the Lord, but Satan comes in and tries to bring in doubt. Oh, tonight, that you might know for sure, because God's Word is written that you might know. You don't have to guess about it. You don't have to hope so, perhaps so, maybe so. You can know, as we have in 1 John 5, we read last Saturday afternoon, verses 9 to 13. And that lovely verse that Charles Stanley used so often, when precious souls were saved, John 5 and 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Have you made that transaction? Do you know for certain that you have passed from death unto life? Oh, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Are you still lost? Are you still blind in your sins? The blind man said in John 9 and 25, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Oh, tonight, can you say that? Can you say that you have seen the Savior as your substitute, as your refuge, as your place of safety from the oncoming judgment of God's wrath? That's our desire. That's the purpose of this gospel meeting, that you might have a clear understanding of God's way of salvation, all in Christ, all purchased by His precious blood on Calvary, all prepared and made ready for you, God's gospel supper spread. And tonight, the next thing on the scene, after supper time, comes midnight. And it'll be dark. It'll be dark. We read about it in Exodus 12 and 29. At midnight, a great cry went up out of Egypt because death had come in. And that was only a small matter, so to speak, in contrast to what God is going to bring on this sinful scene when His judgment comes over the whole world. Oh, take a look at it. In Revelation 6, a few verses there. A very pathetic time of anarchy there in the 12th verse. Revelation 6 and 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and great men and rich men, and the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, because they had no hiding place in Christ. Hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I had a Sunday school superintendent one time over me. She said, you know, God is too good to send anybody to hell. I looked at her. I'd never heard that before. I believed there was a hell. And I believed that a just God would send me there and send anyone else there who didn't take Christ as his Savior. Oh, she said, he's too good. No, I could see well enough, even as a babe in Christ, that she was wrong. Because God loves us. Yes, he does. We wouldn't want to minimize his love. Oh, he loves you. He loves you, and we could continue all night speaking of his wonderful love. But oh, remember, that same God is a God of justice. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, in the middle of the verse, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you obeyed the gospel yet, dear boy, dear girl? Have you surrendered to Christ? Have you taken him as your Savior? Who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's an indictment against your sinful soul if you refuse Christ as your Savior. That's where you'll have to terminate from the presence of God, where God is not, where there's nothing but darkness and hatred forevermore, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But his arms are outstretched tonight. Come unto me. Come unto me. God in mercy sent his Son to this world by sin undone. Come unto me. And he'll have you. He's inviting you. He's the one that gave the first invitation of the word in that 7th chapter, verse 1. Come thou and all thy children into the ark. Listen. Tonight you, dear father, dear mother, how is it with your son, your daughter? When God's judgment has fallen and we are caught away to glory, will you be looking around, wonder where John is, where's Mary? Oh, Noah didn't have to wonder where Ham was. He didn't have to wonder where Shem was. He said, they're all here. Here's Shem, Ham, Japheth. All three of my dear sons are here. They're in the ark. They're safe. And their wives. How will it be with you in that solemn day? In that sad day? Will you think of it more seriously and make one more effort to win them to Christ? Pray once again. Plead with them. Present the claims of Christ before them that they might be born again before it's forever too late. If they're somewhere on the high seas in a distant land, write another letter. Write another letter and put the claims of Christ solemnly and certainly before them, that they might know for sure that their sins are forgiven, and that you might get a reply. Mother, Father, I've taken the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and all is well with my soul. that's wonderful. We see the last invitation in Revelation 22 and verse 17. The last invitation of the Word of God. tonight, it's so plentiful. In verse 17 of Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And him that heareth, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Isn't that lovely? There are two sides, the inside and the outside. Which side are you? Great, great grace of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God's great grace, his free grace. And he says, come, that you might enter in. The Lord Jesus would have you do so. He has told us so plainly. He's the door. By me, if any man enter in. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You'll have to come God's way. There isn't any other way. Any other way is the way of the thief and the robber. And there's no way in. No way. You must come. The Lord Jesus Christ is the door. The door to God's glory. The door to God's house. The door to a place of safety and refuge forevermore. He is the way. He is the one who gave his life on the cross. And you notice here in the 22nd verse, it says, Noah finished the work. And the Lord Jesus said, Father, I've finished the work which thou gave me to do. And he said in John 19, it is finished. And tonight, many of us in this room are resting in that finished work. How about you? Do you know anything about rest in the finished work of Calvary? Oh, I trust that you rest in that work tonight. You don't have to tell me about it, but oh, that you might speak to someone about it. And you might say, yes, I see myself as a poor, lost, hell-deserving, hell-bound, guilty sinner. And I see that the Lord Jesus is a refuge for sin, and for sinners rather. And he's the one that wants me tonight to take him, and I do take him. And I'm confessing Christ to you. They've been praying for you tonight, dear young people. Dear boys and girls, still going on in your sins. Ah, they've been praying for you tonight. Oh, that you might confess Christ. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth under salvation. Oh, that you might know for sure that all is well with your soul, your name's written there, and that you won't have to hear those words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Whosoever name is not written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into, emptied into the lake of fire. Fire. God's word has a lot to say about it. And tonight, the warning is given again. And tonight, what are you going to do about it? Those dear souls in Noah's day, they disregarded and they were lost. They perished. 15 cubits and about 22 and a half feet of water over the toppest, over the tallest mountaintop and treetop. There they were, climbing up into the hills, climbing up into the trees. No place of escape. No place of safety, because they weren't entering into God's ark. They weren't entering into the place that God had prepared for them through his servant Noah. Tonight, this is a finished work, and we praise God for it. And we rejoice tonight that we have the wonderful invitation. And God is the one who has been giving it. And he would have us hearken to it and really enjoy it. And so we just know that there's someone here tonight that's going on and thinking, well, I'd like to have a good time first, you know. I want to sow my wild oats first, and then I'll take care of this matter of eternal salvation. You heard the illustrations last night, and it reminds me of those souls I told you about down in St. Vincent. that day when old Brother Edwards walked around the island of St. Vincent, warned all those souls. He said there's going to be a volcanic eruption again. And I've heard the rumblings for a week, and I've seen the ashes spitting out. I've told you before about it. The people on the leeward side, the windward side, they said, Mr. Edwards, you don't know what you're talking about. In our day, it never did anything like that. We have our coconuts to take care of. We're not going to run away. He said, flee. Go to the other end of the island quickly. They laughed at him. Kept on with their coconuts. But on the leeward side of the island, they fled when he warned them. And one night, just a few hours after that, that volcano broke open and poured its molten lava, red hot lava, boulders big as barrels rolling down the mountainside out to sea about 6 miles. And 2,200 souls were snapped into eternity in a matter of moments. Why? Because they would not heed the warning. And they wouldn't heed Noah's warning. And so tonight, the warning is going out again, as it went out last night. Oh, what are you going to do with this warning? Are you going to turn your back on God's red lights and say, I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to have my own good time about this. Like some dear souls in Walla Walla, they came up last year to the front after the gospel was preached. Young man and his girlfriend. They said, we want to get saved. And we talked with them, about six of us there, for a half hour. We want to get saved, but we don't want to get saved tonight, and we don't want to get saved here. Well, I said, how about waiting 6 months? You want to wait that long? Oh, no. We don't want to wait 6 months. Well, how about 2 months? No, we don't want to wait that long. Well, how about 2 weeks? No, we don't want to wait that long. But we don't want to get saved now. We don't want to get saved here. We want to go home and get saved on our own. Haven't heard anything about them excepting Christ. Poor souls. We're concerned about them, have inquired about them again this summer. Oh, tonight, how about you? Do you want to just go on stubbornly in your own wicked way and die in your sins? Ah, tonight, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Ah, it says here in verse 16, and they that went in with him. Oh, tonight, that you might go in with your father, with your mother. You might go into this place of safety and rejoice forevermore that your soul is eternally saved, that you have a clear title to glory, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that you're realizing, as you've never thought were possible before, that He is your Savior. He is your substitute, your refuge, and that you have a desire to go on with Him in worship and praise. Here's that little poem that I like concerning this ark. They dream not of danger. Perhaps you don't either. Satan got you hoodwinked, you know, got you blinded. You don't dream of danger. They're those sinners of old whom Noah was chosen to warn. By frequent transgressions, their hearts had grown cold. They laughed his entreaties to scorn, yet daily he called them. Oh, come, sinners, come, believe, and prepare to embark. Receive you the message, and know there's room for all who will enter the ark. He could not arouse them. Unheeding they stood, unmoved by his warning and prayer. The prophet passed in from the oncoming flood and left them to hopeless despair. The floodgates were opened. The deluge came on. The heavens as midnight grew dark. Too late, then they cried. They turned, every foothold was gone. They perished inside of the ark. Right there, the ark before them. Oh, sinner, the heralds of God's mercy implore. They cry like the patriarch, come. The ark of salvation is moored to your shore. Oh, enter, while yet there's room. The storm cloud of justice rolls dark o'er your head, and when by its fury you're tossed, alas, of your perishing soul 'twill be said, they heard, they refused, and were lost. Oh, tonight, may God help you to do what you know you should do, and do it now, because you may never have another opportunity. May we sing that precious hymn, number 11. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? Will your anchor